Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of 1 Chronicles with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through 1 Chronicles chapter 21, where we see that even though we go through hardships in our lives, God is not mad at us and he is not a mean God. But he is seeking to woo us back to himself and he wants to then use your life for his glory. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in 1 Chronicles chapter 21.
I'll show you in just a moment. The very place that Christ would be crucified is where this event is taking place. And the lesser David says of the greater David, Jesus, in the way that he will say it, punish me, not them. Aren't you thankful tonight that Jesus has received your punishment in full? Aren't you thankful that Jesus said, Father, pour out your wrath on me for them, Calvary Westside, past sins, present sins, and future sins, not them, Lord. Don't deal with them according to their iniquities. Don't deal with them according to their transgressions, Lord. Exchange my righteousness, give it to them, bestow it upon them, and give me their rags. He made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. I hope that that washes you tonight. I hope that if you're here tonight, and man, you are that person that entered into temptation, that has entered into folly, that you could at least leave with this great consolation that Jesus has already paid the price for you in full, even for the things that you're doing right now that you never knew that you would do. He knew it when he was hanging on that tree. And knowing all of you, he loves all of you. What a shepherd king. So the angel of the Lord, he commanded Gad to say to David, verse 18, that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. The threshing floor would traditionally be the most northern place on a mountaintop because of the positioning geographically that it would be for separating the chaff from the wheat. And David's, the city of the Jebusites, where David built his kingdom, stood in the reins there on Mount Moriah, you go north, the most northward place, that would have been where in Abraham's day you would have erected an altar. That would have been where Abraham would have offered up Isaac. This is a very historical place, a very symbolic place. The threshing floor northward of David's kingdom would be where Solomon's temple will be built, will be where Christ was crucified, would be where Abraham would have offered up his son Isaac. And that is the place that God stops the plague upon the people that they deserve. How incredible is that? It's an amazing picture. The Lord commands Gad, says to David, that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan. And David goes up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel, and his four sons with him hid themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. Isn't that sort of like, what? What is it? How does that work? And he sees the angel, him and his four sons, and they go back to their business. Because when you don't know what to do, you just keep doing what you do know to do. And that's sort of what happens here. So as David comes to Ornan, Ornan looked and he saw David, and he went out to the threshing floor, and he bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, verse 22, grant me, please notice, if you're an underliner, a highlighter, a note taker, it says here, please notice that he says, grant me the place, a very specific place of this threshing floor that I might build an altar therein unto the Lord. You shall grant it to me for the full price, for the plague may be stayed from the people. In order for the plague to be stopped, blood had to be shed. Speaking of the blood of Jesus. And Ornan said to David, I hope you're all taking this in, this is so rich. It speaks of our legacy, it speaks of our heritage in Christ. Ornan says to David, verse 23, take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offerings. I give it all to you. You're the king. And David says in verse 24 to Ornan, no, but I will verily buy it for the full price. For I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offering without a cost. Isn't that amazing? Consecration, what does that speak of? Fully giving yourself to someone or something. Right? You can't be fully consecrated to the Lord without great sacrifice. We spoke about that on Sunday. Talked about that on Sunday, right? Like I can't say I'm all the Lord's, but my money's not his. Like, Lord, you could have my singing and you could have my preaching, but not my money. Can't do that. I can't separate parts, departments, compartments of my life and say, God, this is yours, but this isn't. Lord of all, or biblically, he's not the Lord at all, right? That's sort of how that works, and he's supposed to be gaining more of us each and every day, okay? Consecration speaks of when you take an animal and you fully burn it, you fully sacrifice it. There's nothing left, unlike other offerings like a peace offering. David says, there can't be consecration. Some of you need to hear this. There can't be consecration. This is what I needed to hear this week. There can't be full commitment to the Lord. There can't be without there being great sacrifice from me. Same for you. If you're here tonight and you're like, man, I just feel like I feel like I'm losing sometimes. I feel like sometimes I'm out of control, right? That's the sanctifying process where you're offering all of you to God, and there has to be that, and there's sacrificing of your will so that you could do his will. Okay, Lord, I won't date him. He doesn't love you. I want to, but you told me that I'm not to. So there's sacrifice here because I'm giving you my life. Okay, Lord, I won't date her. I won't watch that. I won't take that. I won't enter into the temptation that we started with tonight. Because, Lord, I am yours. And in order for me to be yours, I have to sacrifice something. And that is the pleasure that sin brings to me. Or money, or time, or resources, or talents. But the Holy Spirit's telling me to tell you right now that it's a pleasure of sin. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to me. Isn't that a sacrifice? Don't you all have free will? Can't you leave here and do whatever you want to do? You can. If you don't, it's not a trick question. Every single one of you, including me, we could all leave and go do whatever we want to do. But if we're going to live for the Lord and live unto the Lord completely as best as we can, then we are giving up our right. It's no longer I who lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. And I don't do what I want to do anymore all of the time. The flesh doesn't govern me. The Spirit governs me. And according to Romans chapter 5, we could reign with Christ right now in this life. Do you know that? David says, I got to buy this. There's a difference, David says. I don't care about money. There's a difference between cost and amount. David's past that, the amount. Amount means nothing. The way to sacrifice and the way to consecrate is what the Lord is calling us to because it works. I'm all of yours, Lord. So David here gives to Ornan, almost finished, in verse 25, 600 shekels, over $100,000 in worth of gold by weight. You guys that love these types of things, there's your bill of sale for the Temple Mount. Who does the Temple Mount belong to? The Jews. It's right here in Scripture. There's the bill of sale. This is 1,000 years before Christ. This is 1,600 years before Muhammad. Who does the Temple Mount belong to? The Jews. David buys this. I mean, no one gave it to him. It's not gifted to him. This is David's. He's a Jew. It belongs to the Jewish people, the Temple Mount. There's no discrepancy here. Amazing. And he builds there an altar, verse 26. David does this, and he's old. He dies at 70. He's at the end of his life. He's older in years. He, the language indicates, David, he built an altar. He doesn't demand his servants to do it. He's broken. He builds an altar unto the Lord, and he offers burnt offerings, it says. David does this. And he calls unto the Lord as he offers the burnt offering and the peace offerings. Peace offerings are a barbecue. Unlike the consecration offering where the whole thing goes to God, a peace offering is a little for you, a little for me. And we sup together because you have fellowship with God and peace with God after you fully give your life to God. That's how it goes. You need peace tonight. You don't got peace. You got to pop a pill, drink a glass of something before you go to bed. Go get right with God, maybe, and it will help you to have peace. You have the peace of God when you have peace with God. You won't have to smoke the joint. You won't need the CBD. You won't need, I mean, some of you do for different things. That's not what I'm speaking to now. I'm speaking about peace right now. You need peace, more times than not, go get right with God. Give your life to God completely, and you'll have not just peace with God, but you'll have the peace of God. And you'll feast with him the way that David does here. And he calls on the Lord, and God answers David from heaven. And this is before Elijah. We have fire coming down, consuming on the altar the burnt offering that David sacrifices. And what a scene for the nation of Israel to see. God wanted the nation to know that he is the sinner's savior. Wants everyone here to know that tonight too. This is who he is. Any chastisement, any correction in your life, any hardship, God's not mean, God's not mad. He's seeking to woo you back to himself. And he wants your life to be a testimony to the world around you that you made mockery of him in front of for however long it's been. He wants your life to now be a vessel that he can speak to the world that's watching, looking in at you, that he is the sinner's savior. He consumes this sacrifice. It's all orchestrated by him. He does this despite us, not because of us. He steps into the scene here. He devours the sacrifice. And the Lord commanded the angel, and he put his sword again into the sheath thereof. I want to see this on as a visual when we get to heaven. This must have been spectacular. The angel puts his sword away back into the sleeve. And at that time when David, verse 28, saw the Lord, had answered him in the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusites, then he sacrificed there. For the tabernacle of the Lord, which Moses made in the wilderness, and the altar of the burnt offering, were at that season in the high place at Gibeon. But David, last verse, could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid because of the sword of the angel of the Lord. And he must have thought, Lord, I'm going to just worship you right here where the fire has fallen. And then David said, verse 1, this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel, right at the threshing floor of Ornan. Now listen to this. This is wild. There's a place there. That's the Temple Mount, okay? That ridge of Mount Moriah northward that goes up the hill there where the city of the Jebusites was built at the base of Mount Moriah or toward the base of Mount Moriah. You follow that ridge up to the top, which leads you to today, the Temple Mount, the Golden Dome of the Rock, all of that. You go to that vicinity. It's divided. The Arabs have control here. The Jews have control there. It's amongst each other. One minute you're amongst Arab territory and Muslim leaders, and then the next, you know, you're surrounded by the Jews and their authority. It's wild to see how intertwined they are. But you go to that place, and you go to the Temple Mount, and all of that vicinity is this scene. But there's a particular place there where there's a flat stone. It's actually the only place where there's a flat stone, which would speak of an exactness to where the threshing floor would have been. And the Muslims regard this place, it has a little dome over it, a little dome. It almost looks like the size of a, what's it called, those circular things in people's backyards and stuff, a gazebo. It's almost like a gazebo with openings all around it. It's got like a black dome. So unlike the golden dome of the rock there, it's got like a black dome. And the Muslims regard this to be the tomb of the spirits. But the Jews, for so long, have regarded this place to be the tomb of tablets. The tablets are where the law was written. They were placed in what? The ark. The ark was placed in the Holy of Holies. And they don't want you standing in that vicinity for a very long time because it's such a hot debate between the two of what it really was. But many say, even Pastor Chuck, the founder of Calvary Chapel, that that was the exact place where the Holy of Holies was at the time of Christ when the high priest would bring the blood, the sacrificial atonement's blood, into that place and sprinkle it on Yom Kippur. That would have been the exact place where that flat stone is. The only really flat stone on the whole Temple Mount is right where that gazebo-like structure is, standing over this place where perhaps and most likely it was Ornan's threshing floor where this whole event had happened. Amazing. I have a picture of me standing inside of it. And the tour guide's like, hey, you can't do it long. Get your picture and get out. Because they know that this very well could be the place. It very likely is the place where the Shekinah glory was once before. Isn't that amazing? No, I'm saying that I stood there, not this that I'm telling you, but that I stood there. A fascinating thing, an amazing thing. And this all happened 1,000 years before Christ would have come. David purchased this place. He offered this sacrifice. Fire fell from heaven, speaking of God's acceptance and God's restoration. And it's there that God put his finger and said, this is where I want my house to be built. Listen, I know I've worked with you for 40 minutes. Let me close you with this. My math is bad. 50 minutes. Let me leave you with this. David knew that God was going to build a house through Solomon, but he didn't know up till now where that house would be. Now he knows. Mount Moriah, this beautiful historical place, this mountaintop place where so much had happened and so much would happen. Now he knew. God put his finger on it and he said, that's the place that this is going to happen, where the actual fire of God and wrath of God would be poured out on not your sacrifice, David, but on my son for the sins of the world. Okay, we talked intensely just a few minutes ago about those of you who are in the midst of it or looking to get in the midst of it, whatever it is that is sinful. And we know that the devil can come right in there or his minion or just your flesh and start to condemn you and say you should have never came to church tonight. It's a buzzkill. They're just trying to tell you all the time what you can't do and rob you of your fun and rob you of your young years and rob you of excitement and rob you of this and rob you of that. And he wants to come right in and tell you all that, and he wants to steal the seed that God's seeking to plant in your heart. But the ending here is this. God wants to preserve you and protect you from great devastation that will be self-inflicted by you. And at the other side of that is God's forgiveness and grace and mercy. You don't believe what the enemy tells you. You don't believe what your own heart is telling you. You don't buy into the condemnation. You don't do any of that. You let God's word set you straight. He wants to spare you. He wants to bless you. He wants to restore you. He wants to honor you. He wants to walk alongside of you. If it weren't the case, when David got before him and offered the sacrifice, God would have said, I'm not accepting that. Who do you think you are? Your hands are dirty. You numbered people. You had 10 months. There was none of that, right? As soon as David repented, what did God do? He relented. Soon as David repented, God relented. I understand there's consequences, but God forgave David. God restored David, and he even gave him insight of where the temple would be built. God wants to do the very same thing for every single person in this room tonight who's battling. As soon as you could just get right with him and honor him and recognize before him, God, I've been foolish. As soon as you can do that, homologeo, agree with him about what he says concerning your circumstances. As soon as you do that, he'll come right back into the picture. No longer will he speak to Gad to talk to you or speak to this David to talk to you. He'll speak to you. The only thing that separates you from the Lord is your sin. That breach will be closed. It will be over, and he'll speak to you. And he'll restore to you whatever it is that he sees fit to encourage you to carry on. So, Lord, I close this service And I pray, Lord, I know that for so many people here tonight, God, it's got to be you who works to will to do of your good pleasure in their hearts. I could preach till I'm blue in the face. I could run up and down the aisles and yell at the top of my lungs. It won't matter, Lord. Your spirit has to open eyes and hearts to what your word is seeking to communicate. And Lord, we lift up right now those who are among us that are our brothers and sisters who are in the thick of it. Grace them, God, to choose life and to choose what is right and to eschew what is evil. Lord, it is so hard to be a part of that number that walks with you and talks with you and abstains, God, from all of the things that the culture throws at us, Lord. But we know that you honor that type of pursuit and that you come along and you make it by your power, not our own. So, Lord, I pray tonight that your presence would be so heavy in this place, particularly in this closing song, and that your spirit would finish what's been started here tonight, and that you would woo your children close to yourself. In all of our mouths, Lord, put a bad taste for sin. Help us to hate those things that grieve you, God, and to love those things that please you. Thank you, Jesus, that you're the sinner's Savior. Thank you that you don't condemn us, but that you love us. Thank you that you died in our place and fully received the Father's wrath that we deserved. May we honor you, God, with the rest of our week. May we seek your face. It's for your glory, Lord, that we ask these things. And also, Lord, that we ask for forgiveness. Forgive us, Lord, for the things that we don't even know of. And forgive us particularly again, Lord, for the things that we certainly know of. And we did it anyways. So grateful for your grace and your mercy. We want to tell you that we love you. And we ask you that this closing song would put a smile on your face. And it's in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.